Welcome back, everybody. 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 Everybody.
Everybody.
My name is Kaz, and...
This is Medibot.
And we're reviewing once again, or more, or
This
always.
Is the Skulls Cast.
This is the Skulls Cast, and we're recording our review of The Cons of Tarkir by The Con. Today, we're...
Not by the pro?
No,
it just
well,
seems pretty
I mean,
negative.
We're negative guys. We're negative Nellies, the both of us. You knew that coming in. But today it's the Mardu Horde.
Mardu Horde.
The Mardu Horde.
Red, white, and black. Is their color identity?
They're about fighting
they,
and winning.
They're like fighting and winning. that's pretty much it.
Like, of all the flavors, this one seems the most honest to the plane. And the one that they... promoted as the, like, push of this is what it's all about. It's really all about the Horde and everyone's dealing with them. I think that's what how it goes, but you'll
That
we'll,
sounds
we'll see.
Fine. Anyway, let's get to the Mardu Horde's cards. We start off with Nomad Outpost, which is their enters the battlefield tap Triland, and the Mardu Banner, their Monorock.
Right. Again, as a reminder, this one has, like the others, red, white, black, tap, sacrifice, draw card. So they're what do you call them? Clue stones. Back when they made Mind Stone, but for every color. Now they're making more everyone loves Mind Stone, right? But
Clan Stones.
Clan Stone. I like Clan Stone. Banners though.
Alright. Banners. Alright, so our first actual card to talk about will be Mardu Horde Chief, 2W for a 2/3 human warrior that says Raid. When Mardu Horde Chief enters the battlefield, if you attacked with a creature this turn, put a 1/1 white warrior creature token onto the battlefield. So let's just take a second and look at that word raid, which
raid.
Is the Mardu ability word. It is not an actual keyword. The word raid has no actual rules meaning.
It's just to tie all the abilities together. They did this with Hellbent. They did it with Landfall. They did it with Threshold? They went back and redid it to make Threshold work that way, too. And you know, they've since kept that in their back pockets as one of the things that they can do on cards. In general, this just means that these abilities all care about the same thing, but essentially you can read the ability as if that word is not on there at all.
Yes.
And just play it that way.
But the thing you ought to be thinking about if you're playing as or against Mardu is attacking with a creature. As soon as you have attacked with a creature during that turn, all of your raids are active.
Yep.
What this usually means is things are going to go on during the second main phase after you've attacked.
Which is generally how you're supposed to play anyway. So I'm glad that there's this to kind of reinforce good play. The existence of the second main phase kind of blew my mind back in 1998. When, you know, my buddy attacked, and then I'm like, okay, now it's my turn. He's like, no, second main phase, I cast a guy. I'm like, what? There's a second? I was so completely caught by surprise, because I didn't know that there was such a thing as the second main phase. And indeed, it's usually best to play your creatures and spells during second main, so that you leave all of your mana open during your combat for potential tricks.
Right. There are... It's not a hard and fast rule.
Right. There are reasons to not, but it is the general one, and the one that usually results in the better decision or the better sequence of play.
Right.
And so I'm glad that there's abilities like this that reinforce that sequence rather than trying to fight against it.
Mm. So specifically this guy, 3-mana 2/3 is just fine in a set full of morphs.
Oh yeah.
And when you raid with him, you get another body.
And 3 power, 4 toughness for 3 mana is kind of great.
That's pretty good, and this guy's a common, so I'd be pretty happy having a couple of these filling out my deck.
Yeah, you know what really gets me about all this, though? Look at his creature type.
Warrior?
Yeah, white warrior.
Yeah.
And that's just fine. But we came up against, in the Abzan, remember those guys?
Yeah.
They were all soldiers. Even
yeah.
Even though they should have been warriors. So maybe that's...
That's like a thematic
thing. That's kind of a tool. I think I like it more.
It's a way of differentiating, these are both white creatures that are fighty people, but, you know, when we were talking, if they were an Abzan person, they're more soldiery, it's more official regiment, hut, hut, hut. When they're a warrior, it's more ogle, gargle, blarg.
Right.
Rip and tear, so even if they're white.
I guess I can accept it more. You know, before I was a little annoyed that, hey, come on, all these guys are warriors, what's the deal? Warrior, warrior, warrior. And they're even like, there's some warrior tribal support a little bit.
Yes.
In this. And we'll see the other one.
Yeah, it's shared between Abzan and Mardu.
Yeah, so we saw the Abzan flavor of it, and we get to see the Mardu flavor it a little later. But yeah, warriors, it's great. I'm glad that they finally put a warrior into white, because he should be a warrior. He makes a warrior. You get two warriors.
Two warriors.
That's kind of nuts, come to think, with the later card.
On a common...
No, this guy is really solid.
He's just fine. Our next card is Mardu Hate Blade. You know, he just really doesn't like that one vampire hunter, I guess. Single white mana for a 1/1 human warrior. Pay a black to Mardu Hate Blade, gains death touch until end of turn.
Yeah. You know who this guy ain't? Larry.
Nah, not by a long shot.
But he evokes a lot of the image of Larry the Dutiful Thrall. One white, 1/1. One black for an ability. Larry could regenerate, though.
Regeneration keeps a 1/1 body relevant very late into the game.
And also,
then Death Touch
like
can.
The relevant part of that was that Dutiful Thrall was able to be like larger than the usual size of a creature. For instance, if he said like black 1/1, black regenerate, that's too undercosted for how those abilities work. Either it's Drudge Skeletons, where you have one and a black for a 1/1 with black regenerate. Or you have Odious Trow, who... I think it's Odious Trow. Might be the other Trow. But anyway, it's like one black, 1/1, one and a black to regenerate. That extra mana has to happen in there somewhere.
Yeah.
And Larry the Dutiful Thrall got it from just being like white to cast and black to activate. So it wasn't fait accompli if you cast this guy that you can regenerate him. You might just have the white mana. Now, Mardu Hateblade is in that same boat, but we can already have black creatures who say black 1/1 death touch. And in fact, at Uncommon, back in Abzan, we had the Morph who was just like, nope, flip. Or wait, was that
another? There was a Counterlord who gave you team death touch.
We'll get to it later. But anyway, yeah. there's a card in the set that's a human assassin with Morph.
Yeah.
And the front end of her is black 1/1 death touch. And I'm just like, okay, well, if we can have Typhoid Rats but better for one mana, this guy should be better than he is.
Mm.
So, also, when is the... Yeah, that Thymenides... No, it's not Thymenides. What was... Shoot.
who are you trying to
I'm
think
thinking of the Scorpion from Theros. Our favorite little guy... The Death Toucher, one green, 1/1. What was that called?
I think it was Sedge Scorpion.
Sedge Scorpion. That's what it's
called.
Killed by a scorpion.
Killed by a scorpion.
I was trying to remember the name of the guy in the flavor text who was killed by a scorpion. But we were glad to have one of those.
Yeah, because
not
green...
really glad to have the second.
You know, a small Death Toucher in green is sort of... feels better than a small Death Toucher in black sometimes.
Well, I guess because green gets to have larger creatures, so holding off the board until those larger creatures can come down is good. Hateblade, though, is... man, you're just worse than that. I guess he's a warrior.
I mean, I guess here's what I'm guessing they're going for, is that you're Mardu, you're attacking every turn, so it's like, you know, what if he reads, if I have a swamp open, he's just a 1/1 unblockable?
It doesn't matter, though. Like, you could have no death touch. You would still attack with him to turn on raid.
Yeah.
They only care if you attack, not whatever happens later.
That's true.
Anyway, this guy's underwhelming. I wouldn't really want him in my deck. Yeah. But he serves as a foil for the next guy.
Alright, our next code is Firehoof Cavalry, single white for a 1/1 human berserker. Pay 3 and a red. Firehoof Cavalry gets +2/+0 and gains trample until end of turn.
Whereas this is something I'm really glad to see on a 1-mana 1/1, where he definitely is larger than just his like tiny size. Benefits greatly from having the second color. You're probably not activating it more than once, but maybe you are. Suddenly this is a 1-1 that has like late game potential. I just need like a lava axe or whatever at my opponent, and this guy can manage.
So we have warriors and berserkers.
Yeah. More like this guy is
warrior,
writing
soldier, berserker. Whatever words for just fighty dude do we have?
Fight man.
Fighting man was the original term. The
right.
Fighting man.
Fighting man. Like the counterpart to flying man.
Yes.
Right. So we had fighting man. Do they have what are they called in Dungeons and Dragons? Fighter?
Yeah,
in
the original in ye oldie D&D, it was fighting man.
Get out of here.
It later changed.
You see
to
that
fighter.
Like thing right over there that says Dungeons and Dragons? I got you right there.
He's a fighting man.
We will
fighting man magic user.
Elf.
Dwarf.
Firehoof Cavalry is also, though his art contained his or her art, I'm not gonna say, contains a horse. Is not a knight.
It's not a knight. That's another fighting
the
man.
The go-to word for man on horse in Magic the Gathering. Importantly, there was like in Zendikar, Goblin Rough Rider, who was a Goblin Knight. And then you had Lashing Saurian or something that was also a goblin riding a lizard. But it was creature type lizard because clearly the goblin was not in control, and you can see on the art. And that was one of the reasons that I loved Zendikar so much, is it had all of these little stories, tiny little stories on cards. This one is, it's fine. I'm not in a hurry to slam a bunch of these in my like limited deck or whatever. It's never going to make it into the world of Constructed. And most of the time, you're not even going to get to activate it. You'll just have to suicide him into turn on raid or just have a body around or whatever. But yeah.
He can do things.
He can. Again, like one of, not more than.
Yeah, it's your mid to late pick. Fill out your aggressive deck. Mm-hmm. Next card is Timely Horde Mate, 3W for a 3/2 human warrior with raid. When Timely Horde Mate enters the battlefield, if you attacked with a creature this turn, return target creature card with converted mana cost 2 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield.
Just straight reanimates a man. Now, there were times when you could get away with a 4-mana 3/2. I don't know how much you can get away with that in this set, especially because of morphs.
Yeah. 2/3 looks
like,
a lot better,
a lot
than,
lot
three,
better
two.
Than 3/2. Then again, Gravedigger was a 4-mana 2/2 who at uncommon, nowadays he's uncommon, he used to be common, that thing was nuts, would bring something back to the hand. He had no restrictions. This is restricted to 2 or less. Crucially, you cannot chain these guys.
Oh.
But also, it fits right in with the raid plan and the suicide attack.
Like, oh, I bashed my guy into you as we made a trade. Whoops, my guy's back.
Right. That starts to feel pretty great.
Yeah. All right.
It's
speaking
also
of things,
just with reanimation in general, there's no color commitment to this.
Mm.
So if you dropped a guy of 2 CMC or less for any reason, he's just back. Timely Hormade is pretty good.
Speaking of things that feel good when you get the raid trigger off, you have Wingmate Rock. 3W for a 3/4 bird with flying. Raid, when Wingmate Rock enters the battlefield, if you attacked with a creature this turn, put a 3/4 bird creature token with flying onto the battlefield. Whenever Wingmate Rock attacks, you gain 1 life for each attacking creature.
Right, so this is clearly a bomb in limited.
Yes.
If you ever faced down or played a Broodmate dragon, this is kind of what that evokes. That was like Jund +3 for a 4/4 with another 4/4. That was a very difficult card to deal with, both in limited and constructed. Wingmate Rock is going to be at least equally difficult to deal with, being only 5 mana. And, you know, shave off the power of the flying, but add this upside where you also start gaining life. Yeah. This thing's nuts. I guess they also have, like, cool little ribbons coming off their talons.
Yeah, little footy ribbons. They decorate your rock.
Yeah.
And you see it up there, you're like, I decorated the rock. And that's why, and your guy feels good, and he's... pats you on the back.
This is one of the few cards I see from, like, so far, making it into Constructed. Probably Standard. You don't get much more efficient than this at, like, 5 mana. And it has the same kind of thing that Broodmate Dragon did to it, where it was, like, the built-in 2-for-1, where you get, like, 2 creatures out of it. You're always activating the raid trigger. That's way too easy to do.
Okay. I mean, I guess I've heard otherwise from people testing with it.
Yeah.
That it hasn't actually worked super great. That, you know, an enemy control strategy really can shut it down. And against an aggro deck, you don't make it to 5. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see. Certainly, it is efficient. It is a very efficient card when the raid trigger happens. Next card is a Mardu Skull Hunter. 1 and a black for a 2/1 human warrior. Mardu Skull Hunter enters the battlefield tapped. Raid. When Mardu Skull Hunter enters the battlefield, if you attacked with a creature this turn, target opponent discards a card.
Alright, now there's some parts that I really like about this guy, and there's some parts that I really don't like. And most of them have to do with, like, the wider world of design. Not much about the card itself. Card itself is just fine. A piker is fine. This one is also, like, a rats.
Yeah.
And that's great. You know, that's another reason that these, like, 1-mana guys from before might be a little better, is so that you can start attacking on 2 and get, like, all of your raid guys on all the time. And that then, like, even Fugitive Wizard starts to sound good if you just are getting, like, all of your cards with all this value. So, starting life as a 2-mana 2/1, that's baseline playable in a lot of formats. Just want a piker. I know that sounds embarrassing or bad or whatever, but hey, 2-mana 2/1s are some good. That's like baseline aggression. And then getting a card out of your opponent would be huge. What I don't like so much is that entering the battlefield tapped is kind of becoming a black thing.
Yeah, being
this
the,
keeps
the
happening.
Slowness. I've usually seen it more attached to undead creatures, where it's like, oh, they're still all shambly for a minute, and that's why they enter the battlefield tap.
Carrion Crow, which itself is a zombie too, sort of gets that on there so that they don't end up printing like a Wind Drake exactly and explicitly in black like they have done in blue and white.
But then this is just guy or lady.
Here
this is just person.
Here it's baffling.
You're a skull hunter.
Is he busy hunting the skulls? Is that like...
But skull hunting is what you do by fighting.
I...
And getting in fights and winning.
That part I don't get.
That feels a little weird.
As a creature,
honestly.
He does the work on the tin, and that's just fine.
Also, bringing him back with Hordemate feels really good.
Oh my goodness.
It does exactly what you want it to
by
do.
By the way, let me break your back now. You've discarded 2 guys to this, and he's back.
Alright, next up, Bellowing Saddle Brute. 3 and a black for a 4/5 Orc Warrior. Says, raid, when Bellowing Saddle Brute enters the battlefield, you lose 4 life unless you attacked with a creature this turn.
Alright, sort of turning the raid thing on its head.
Yeah.
I think I would still cast him, though.
It's a 4-mana 4/5.
That's a Yeti.
Mm.
Man, we don't get Yetis.
Mm. It's beefy.
That's kind of huge. Yeah, I'll tangle with all your, like, 4-mana 3/2s. All your morphs. Got you right here. The Saddle Brute.
And, you know, with what we've seen so far, unless you're really getting controlled out of the game, you probably are able to swing with something on turn 4, thereby gaining 4 life. In a double reverse sort of way. definitely a fine sort of, you know, mid to mid-low-ish code for your limited deck.
Yeah, I mean, there's also a reason that he's uncommon.
Yeah.
They don't want, like, a ton of those floating around. Just, could you imagine the deck that's like, okay, turn 4, Saddle Brute, I take 4. Turn 5, another Saddle Brute, I don't.
I think that if I had 3 of these, if I managed to draft 3 of these, and I didn't mess up too terribly bad during the rest of my draft, and I did not win that draft, it's because I'm bad at the game of Magic.
I mean, a lot can happen. Maybe you don't even draw the 4th land.
I suppose.
Draw, like, 3 lands and the banner, and then you're like, oh, I'm still a turn behind on my thing. But I don't know. A lot can happen.
Next up, Blood-Soaked Champion. Single black for a 2/1 human warrior. Blood-Soaked Champion can't block. Raid, pay 1 and a black to return battlefield champion from your graveyard to the battlefield. Activate this ability only if you attacked with a creature this turn.
Right, so this is the first raid thing that is not a trigger, but rather an activated ability.
Yes.
And that's something that you can do with the ability word. As for this guy, the reason that he can't block is so that you don't use him as a repeated chump blocker.
Yeah.
They've done that a lot.
Gravecrawler.
Yeah, like Gravecrawler with...
Bloodgast.
Bloodgast. The vampire spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Freaking Bloodgast.
Bloodgast, good lord. Bloodgast, this guy ain't.
No,
probably not even Gravecrawler, frankly.
Still... 1 mana for a 2/1 that will come back for more. Aggressive deck wants something like that.
Yeah, like he turns on your raid and then... Like he could be the creature that attacked.
Yeah. Like, well, someone attacked. I don't know where they went. I don't know. Get back in
awesome.
Here.
So... Yeah, no, this guy
pretty,
is pretty good.
Pretty strong as part is, you know, slamming that down turn one definitely feels good. Next up is Valley Dasher. 1 and a red for a 2/2 human berserker with haste, and Valley Dasher attacks each turn if able.
Why would he go and attack those turns? Each and every last one of them.
They're in his valley.
Ooh, also, does a Valley Dasher, like, make hats? Or wait, it makes vowels? You have a Haberdasher who's a hat.
Makes habs.
Hat maker, habs.
Yeah.
And then
hat
have,
being a corrupted form of the original
of hab.
Hat.
Right. He just makes them?
Yeah.
Valley Dasher? I'm sure there's a better joke in there somewhere.
Somewhere.
I
don't know how to find jokes.
This guy looks fine.
Yeah, if I'm the beatdown, this is something I'd very much like to play on turn 2.
Right, and you can still get like
2/2 haste,
1 block out of him if you really need the block by playing in second main.
Yes,
it's kind of a classic design of red cards. Usually on like a 3/1 or a 5/1 or something. It's like, you know, must attack each turn if able and haste, or I don't know some. There's that kind of thing is a known red card quality. But this guy can back it up by being just efficient on his face.
Yeah.
Like, 2 mana, 2/2 haste is better than we usually get. And so the drawback doesn't look like so much of a drawback in that circumstance.
Yeah. All right. Next up is Mardu Warshrieker. 3 and a red for a 3/3 Orc Shaman. It says raid when Mardu Warshrieker enters the battlefield. If you attacked with a creature this turn, add a red, a white, and a black mana to your mana pool.
It's a goofy fixing in red, which is great. And a...
Priest of Gix!
Possibly, right, but a Priest of Gix who has a reasonable body.
Yeah.
For his cost. This
also a hill giant.
Right, this is more akin to Coal Stoker, and that was a really good guy.
I like it.
Yeah. Power out another 2 drop, jeez. Or maybe have this sick turn that's like War Shrieker, other guy.
Man. Yeah, if you have 5 mana, you can do War Shrieker into War Shrieker into something that costs 3 or less.
Mm. I can see this being confusing in southern states of the U.S.
Why do you say that?
Because if you wash something, it shouldn't reek.
Canyon Lurkers is our next card. Four under red for a 5/2 human rogue with morph for 3 under red.
This guy is hard to evaluate. I mean, in a sense, you're trying to get like a cost reduction on the 5 mana, which is clearly too large. Like 5 mana for a 5/2, we can do better. Like even black gets like a 5 mana 5/3 as their like vanilla creature. And I think red could easily get that, probably with upside. Red has had, like classically, way back when, 5 mana 5/4s, fire elemental.
Fire elemental, yeah.
So, a 4 mana 5/2 is called Cobble Brute. I'm not sure I like Cobble Brute all that much.
This is a surprise Cobble Brute?
That sounds a lot better. The attack with my 2/2 and whatever, you know, it's like, oh, it's just some morph. He'll never unmorph it. He doesn't have the mana for it. And suddenly he's, like, taking a lava axe to the face. The surprise counts for something.
Mm.
But that's really all it's got going for it. And I guess that's why it gets to be a rogue.
Yeah, it's...
Lurkers are roguelike.
Roguish.
Oh, roguish is a much better word for that.
Yeah.
Man. I said roguelike.
Yeah,
isn't
you
how
did.
Programmed I am? Ugh.
It's okay. Gross. I'll punish you for that later.
How about with one of these?
How about with one of these? How about with the Aerostorm? 3 and double red for a sorcery. Aerostorm deals 4 damage to target creature or player. Raid, if you attacked with a creature this turn, instead Aerostorm deals 5 damage to that creature or player, and the damage can't be prevented.
Decent common removal.
Yeah, that's
like even on its face on the like 5 mana 4 damage thing. That's gonna kill a lot of creatures.
That is quite passable common removal. Mm. Not passable as in you pass it, but passable as in
it
passes.
Gets a pass. It passes the test. Yes. That kind of pass.
Yeah.
Honestly, the only thing I kind of regret or don't like about this card, I mean, aside from the art, which is just really goofy and kind of dumb looking because it looks like they're throwing a party or shooting streamers and like why are they like if they had to prove that it's a red card by coloring everything super saturated like violet red. No, that's dumb. But the other thing I kind of regret is that it has the word storm in it. So every time I go to search gather for storm cards, it's gonna pop up in the list.
Here's what I sort of, you know, minor nitpicky point about it.
Mm.
When a card says Aerostorm, I expect it to hit everything.
Right. They're all aiming at this one guy?
Yeah.
Ugh,
like,
geez.
Aerostorms should be like...
Right, no, that's a different... Actually, no, Aero Volley Trap could hit multiple things, couldn't it? Wow.
And Comet Storm hit everything, and we love it.
Yeah.
My second favorite red burn spell with
Exodus
cost.
Yeah,
kind of
whiffed there. This would be more like Deadly Shot or something. Like one guy firing a big arrow rather than a bunch of guys firing like sort of large red like space marine blasts.
Definitely shooting mystical.
Taste the raspberry of our arrows!
Oh no, I love gelato. Next card is... War Name Aspirant, 1 and a red for a 2/1 human warrior with raid. When War Name Aspirant enters the battlefield, War Name Aspirant enters the battlefield with a +1/+1 counter on it if you attacked with a creature this turn. War Name Aspirant can't be blocked by creatures with power 1 or less.
So, yeah, about those, like, excellent horned turtles and 05s and 06s. Well, this lady walks right past him.
Yeah.
Again, as a 2/1/2/1, we already kind of like pikers because it's baseline aggression.
Yeah,
and
piker with this nice sort of pseudo evasion.
Yeah.
And then
piker with pseudo evasion. Yeah. That's already kind of good. And then it might just be a 2/3/2.
Yeah.
Which is totally off the chain.
People in Constructed playing red have posted positive results that include this card as part of their strategy.
It doesn't surprise me at all. I mean,
that's standard,
one,
I should say.
Right. Like, Constructed Standard is... Wait, do we still have Ravnica?
No.
No, we don't.
Ravnica's out.
We lost that with this. Man!
They did reprint Foundry Street Denizen, though.
Well, not so much Foundry Street Denizen. I was thinking of Burning Tree Shaman.
Oh, yeah.
Wait.
Burning Tree Shaman.
Emissary.
Emissary is
Burning
out.
Tree, because Shaman was the...
Yeah, Shaman
three
was the,
three,
the nasty one.
Oh, I love that guy. A Burning Tree Emissary into this? Could you even imagine? Gross.
Delightful.
It'd be great. Then again, what's his name didn't really make it in the 3-2 Unleash? Or the, like...
Chainwalker?
Gorehouse Chainwalker.
No, that did get used.
Standard constructed?
Here and there.
Nah.
But this is a better one.
This has the evasion ability.
Yeah.
I think that's what
pushes
it over the top.
This one doesn't get just chomped by Elspeth's soldier tokens all day.
Right.
Just walks right past them and gives Elspeth a left hook.
Mm.
Which is definitely something you need to do as the red deck against Elspeth. Next up is Mardu Heartpiercer. That is 3 and a red for a 2/3 human archer with raid. When Mardu Heartpiercer enters the battlefield, if you attack with a creature this turn, Mardu Heartpiercer deals 2 damage to target creature or player.
I like this guy a lot. I think he's very strong. He's a signal to me to go into red. I like this guy a lot. A 2/3 is already kind of good in this format. With
yes,
all its,
we're
like,
going to keep saying this, by the way.
There are a lot of intentionally like 2/3s that look kind of weird as like that cost or that body. It might feel like there's more of them than usual, and there's a reason. They're good. 4 mana is a little more than you want to pay for that. This guy comes with like a murder attached.
Comes with a shock attached.
That can go to the dome.
That can go to the dome. You can be like, attack, take you to 2, bam, I win. Shot through the heart, and you're to blame.
Most of the time, he's going to play... there was a Zendikar guy that had like Kicker, Torch Slinger. Like Goblin Torch Slinger or something like that.
Something like that.
He was really good and slightly more expensive than this when kicked. That's basically it. This effect is very good. He's no Flame Tongue Khafu, but nothing ever
will
be.
They will never print a standard legal Flame Tongue Khafu again. If they do, I owe you a Coke.
Hmm.
That said, you know, destroy one of your morphs, block the rest like a hero. Looks like a pretty alright turn 4 play. Or just, you know, swing past them or what
right.
have you. Anyway.
Or even just like, throw a little guy in, they block, suddenly it's a trade. Your board is clear, mine isn't, that kind of thing.
Alright, next up is Mardu Blazebringer. 2 and a red for a 4/4 Ogre Warrior. When Mardu Blazebringer attacks or blocks, sacrifice it at end of combat.
So I think there was something back in Weatherlight that was called Fog Elemental.
Mm.
That was this exact card and text, except it was blue and 2, and it flew.
Mm.
Which has just got to be the better version of this. I mean, do you want to attack with him or block with him?
Depends. You probably want to attack.
You probably want to attack with him. Man, that's so expensive for one attack.
Kind of is.
Now, if for some crazy reason he was converted to monocost 2 or less, then we would have a timely reason to want to play him. But
we'd have the Whopper.
Man, 3 is just slightly too large.
It's a little too big.
I don't like him. I don't even want to play the first.
I really don't either.
Yeah.
Unless there's something very unusual going on.
Like, the reason that we play burn spells is that they are an efficient amount of damage for their cost. They take place immediately in a way that, like, lets them be surprises. The reason we play creatures is so that we get a repeated damage source, the ability to attack more than once. This guy is the worst of both.
Mm.
He's not a secret. He's very slow.
You get it once.
It's not even like a terribly big piece of damage for the cost. I mean, at Uncommon, back in Shadowmoor, we had Flame Javelin. 3 mana, 4 damage. Blammo. Like even Lightning Strike, not Lightning Strike, Lightning Blast or Burst or whatever. It's like 4 mana, instant 4 damage.
Yeah.
That was still much better than this guy.
It says instant on it. Oh, well.
Red cards. What can I do?
And we can look at the next one, which is Horde Ambusher. 1 and a red for a 2/2 human berserker. Whenever Horde Ambusher blocks, it deals 1 damage to you. Morph, reveal a red card from your hand. And when Horde Ambusher is turned face up, target creature can't block this turn.
So you're really paying the extra cost for his like mini spell attached. Yeah. And as far as that goes, it's probably kind of good. Like the ability to like get past him or not block or whatever. The kind of crappy part is that he costs 3 when you morph him.
Yeah.
And even with a free morph reveal, you're not like saving any size or cost on this guy. He's a 2/2 on one side, he's a 2/2 on the other. That part is kind of weird. I wish he were a little larger or something. And with this extra drawback that doesn't need to be there, well, you're never blocking with this guy anyway. Why do we need to have that fake drawback tacked onto this? It just makes the whole thing more clunky and takes out any room for flavor text.
Mm.
So kind of a whiff on design, I think. He's of course in the cycle with the reveal.
And yeah.
The kind of thing that's going to make you nervous about your opponent's morph even when they're tapped out. And at that, this guy is not as great a trick because the trick, as it were, only works at one point in the entire turn.
Yes.
Entire turn sequence or whatever.
I mean, also think about this.
Hmm.
Colorless sorcery for 3. Target creature can't block this turn. Put a 2/2 token into play.
And show your opponent.
And show your opponent like a red card from your hand. Like if you play it as a morph and then immediately unmorph it.
I guess that's okay.
Yeah,
it's not the worst. And this kind of effect has been much better in red, even at like common, over the past 2 blocks. That's Arena Athlete.
Yeah.
And Boros Battalion Guy.
Flame Punchy? Boros Flame
fire,
Punchy?
Firelit Instigator. Man. Whatever the hell his name was. I mean, he was a piker, and the point with both of those cards is that they were like 2 power 2 mana, and then you could repeatedly get the no blocky trigger.
Right.
This guy does his trick once and then sits around as like this drawback creature on the board.
2/2 that doesn't like blocking. He'll do it, but he'll be mad. He'll do it.
I guess in some really weird scenarios, you could get like Purity onto the battlefield and then you're gaining life when he blocks instead. I'm going to stop thinking about that for
now. Let's start thinking about the next card instead, which is Jeering Instigator. 1 and a red for a 2/1 Goblin Rogue. Morph for 2 and a red. When Jeering Instigator is turned face up, if it's your turn, gain control of another target creature until end of turn. Untap that creature, it gains haste until end of turn.
So, threaten a man, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is even slightly better than Threaten. And I like this card a lot, and it's really strong. Because, you know, Threaten, for one, isn't itself a creature unless it's like Zealous Persecutor, Zealous Conscript.
Yeah.
And that card is freaking nuts and has gone all over the place. Jeering Instigator, let's see, only grabs creatures and that's fine. Yeah, it's just Threaten. It's even a little more than Threaten, just because you can attack with it, then they block. Then you can flip him and undo their block.
Yes.
If you really want. And that will pull something out of combat. So that's an additional trick for like what he is and what he does. I mean, that said, most of the time you're just going to be like, okay, play a morph. Okay, next turn, flip him, grab your guy, swing in, whatever.
Yeah,
it's still, and you can like leave it there. like put an extra spell on the battlefield that's just sort of there and attacking your opponents for a while.
Yeah.
That's kind of neat. Oh, also if you... Yeah, if you take a morph, you can look at it.
Yes. You can even unmorph it.
Yes. If you wanted. If you had the mana and could pay the cost.
You could do it.
I'm saying you can get information out of this guy in addition to the damage.
Yes.
So, yeah. He's good. Not like a bomb rare or something that pulls me into red or anything. But if I'm already in red, I'm kind of surprised that this guy is a rare.
Because
this effect looks and feels uncommon, and the size is... Like, the rare pikers usually have a little more punch than this.
Yeah, like Thalia.
Like Dark Confidant.
Thanks, Bob. I'm certainly a playable card in the red limited deck. Next up is Howl of the Horde. 2 and a red for a sorcery. When you cast your next instant or sorcery spell this turn, copy that spell. You may... choose new targets for the copy. Raid, if you attacked with a creature this turn, when you cast your next instant or sorcery spell this turn, copy that spell an additional time. You may choose new targets for the copy.
So this is... excuse me. So this is, pre-verberate?
Yes. You have to do it in advance, you know, rather than an instant that targets a spell that's already on the stack. That said, maybe you get to do it twice.
Yeah. Man, this card is wacky. Then again, like, repeated fork effects, even if it's just, like, two times at once here, have been... Actually, I don't know how they've been. We've only had, like, very few of them. Chandra the Firebrand was sort of one, and people were, like, really happy about Chandra decks until there really wasn't any like support for that, and no deck really wanted to be that. I honestly think that Howl of the Horde could, though, especially if we have things like spells that make creatures. I think that's where this like does best.
Yeah.
And also maybe you just like have any old removal spell.
Yeah. Just that would like burn your face 3 times.
That starts to sound pretty good.
Zap, zap, zap.
So yeah, maybe this is some missing piece of the puzzle.
Just that tiny extra bit of reach. Alright, next up is Ponyback Brigade. 3, a red, a white, and a black for a 2/2 Goblin Warrior. When Ponyback Brigade enters the battlefield or is turned face up, put 3 1/1 red goblin creature tokens onto the battlefield. Morph for 2, a red, a white, and a black.
All right, so
again, part of that common morph cycle.
Yep. Crucially, if you morph it, you don't get the enters the battlefield trigger.
Yes.
And this is honestly, I think, a card designed, like, I'm this is a cynical opinion of mine, but I think it's designed to alleviate some of the pain of morph on both players and new players and judges who are talking to new players. Where I could see it if it didn't say both enters the battlefield and is turned face up, then a new player would say, wait, why didn't I get my goblins? Yeah, it wasn't.
But you do. But
this
you
way,
get
you,
your
you
goblins.
Get the goblins.
You get your goblins.
Enters the battlefield, fine. It turns face up, that's fine. Either way works. How many goblins do we get? 3?
3 tokens.
So like 6 for 5 and 5. 3 then 5 for 5 and 5. There's a lot of goblins.
There's a lot of goblins.
Goblins are not warriors.
They're just goblins.
Ponyback Brigade is a warrior.
Ponyback Brigade is a Wario.
There are also 3 goblins hanging off that pony.
Yep.
I guess that's where it comes from.
Yep, they just sort of roll off.
Once again, I'm unsatisfied that the morph swirlies are not there, are present in Horde Ambusher. That's supposed to be their
Well, the morph swirlies, like we did get them there, but.
And while we're talking about art, I want to go back to Howl of the Horde for a sec, because that is a man who is barfing lightning.
Yeah,
and I kind of like that.
I like that, but that doesn't seem to fit.
No, it doesn't fit at all.
I like it, but it's wrong.
Ponyback Brigade, on the other hand, is very right.
Yeah.
You get a lot of goblins. I think this card is pretty solid.
All right. Next up is Mardu Rough Rider. 2, a red, a white, and a black for a 5/4 Orc Warrior. Whenever Mardu Rough Rider attacks, target creature can't block this turn.
Holla, holla.
What?
It's a Rough Rider.
Well, yes.
Yeah, and he keeps hollering. That's why the creatures can't block. So I guess they wanted their repeated sources of not blocking to be a little larger. Because clearly this is okay. Also, 5 mana 5/4s, like I said, could exist back when we were talking about Canyon Lurkers.
Yeah.
Albeit this one as 2 mana tacked on to the restrictive cost that's similar to Large Man from Shards of Alara. Yeah, you remember the guy. He was in that cycle of uncommons. It's like power uncommons at 3 mana.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just like
Sprouting.
Sprouting Thrynax was the Jund version, but the Naya guy was just a 5/4.
Oh, yeah.
And it's
Smarmadon.
Good lord, I'm huge.
Smuggledon. Now, the whole thing with that rogue being a 5/2 is because it morphs for 4, and they have their policy about morphs, which is that you can't get completely blown out in morph versus morph combat unless your opponent is paying at least 5, or there's a rare involved, I think.
This guy is solid, though.
It's completely fine. Good body, 5/4.
And then great effect.
Hand wavy evasion.
Like, you want to be attacking with this guy anyway.
Yeah.
And then you get rewarded for doing that. So I like it.
Get out the way.
Yeah.
All right. Next up is Mardu Charm. Part of our charm cycle. Red, white, black. For an instant, choose 1. Mardu Charm deals 4 damage to target creature. Put 2 1/1 warrior creature tokens onto the battlefield. They gain first strike until end of turn. Or target opponent reveals his or her hand. You choose a non-creature, non-land card from it. That player discards that card.
Okay. Don't know how happy about instant duress at 3.
Hmm.
It's duress, right? Non-creature, non-land?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds right.
Yeah, instant duress, I mean, if you're so far ahead that your opponent has no cards in hand and they're at the end of their draw step and you feel the need to see if you can make them immediately drop it, I think you're already in a pretty good way.
Yeah.
The second mode of this is what excites me the most.
Two dudes.
Two dudes, first strike, surprise!
Sort of the surprise blocker.
Yeah. Angle.
Also, you can just flame slash something out of your way.
And instant 4 damage to a creature sounds just fine.
Yeah.
So we have a just fine mode, a tetchy kind of surprise blowout mode, and then a useless mode.
A questionable mode.
I don't see anyone ever instant to rest.
I got pretty far with, what was it, Funeral Charm? In my fairies deck. And I'm like, so close.
Man, we had not only that, we had Piracy Charm long ago.
Yeah,
same
and
time.
Piracy Charm.
Yeah.
I ran both. Because I had all my, things that rewarded me for playing my deck on my opponent's turn.
Right.
It was vile.
Yeah, we don't have any of that.
No, it was wrong. I loved it. It was wrong.
So Mardu Charm is just fine.
Oh,
kill
yeah.
things with it.
Next up is Chief of the Edge, counterpart to...
You'll pay for the whole seat, but you'll only need this Chief.
Of the Edge.
Yeah.
White and a black for a 3/2 human warrior. Other warrior creatures you control get +1/+0.
So, 2 mana for a 3/2 is already kind of great.
Yes.
I would accept a 2/1 out of that, and then all your warriors get more fighty. How many of these guys have been warriors?
Enough.
All of them.
Enough.
A couple of
rogues and
berserkers.
And maybe...
But Mardu Horde Chief, who's a warrior who makes a warrior?
That's
crazy.
Suddenly you have a 3/1 and a 2/1.
This card is quite powerful.
Chief of the Edge is no joke. That said, 3/2, while nice and aggressive, doesn't quite interact as favorably with a board full of morphs.
Yeah. So we'll just have to deal with them some other way. Or Heart Piercer or whatever.
Yeah, shoot him down. I'd say it's still a lot of power on a 2-drop.
Right. Like, 2-drop comes down, a couple guys get bigger, your attack looks better. That's nuts.
Alright, next up is Mardu Ascendancy. Red, white, black for an enchantment. Whenever a non-token creature you control attacks, put a 1-1 red goblin creature token onto the battlefield tapped and attacking. Sacrifice Mardu Ascendancy. Creatures you control get +0/+3 until end of turn.
So, the second part is kind of janky.
It's a weird beat your anger of the gods mode.
I guess.
Yeah, that's...
Man.
That's a little...
Well, also, you get the creature first, and then you have this other, like, safety...
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty good. This is kind of what I want out of an enchantment. So, yes, it does nothing on its own.
On its own.
If you have absolutely zero creatures on the battlefield or just, like, a couple tokens left over from Raise the Alarm or whatever, you're not going to be happy about that. But as soon as you get, like, 2 goblins out of this, you're going to be happy.
Yeah. And I'm happy. You know, even as a do-nothing enchantment, the time from playing it to likely triggering it is relatively short. And like you said, you know, once you get 2 goblins out of it, you're pretty much okay.
Mm-hmm.
If you get more than that, you're rolling.
Yeah, moreover, it might even be hasty damage, essentially, because you can be like, okay, I have 2 dudes, play Ascendancy, attack, take whatever. I have my Chief of the Edge, and they are...
Just goblins.
Again, not warriors. Damn it.
Just goblins.
They can't be goblin warriors because that would be too good.
Because then all of this warrior stuff would be off the hook.
It would be kind of good.
Alright. Next up is Crackling Doom. Red, white, black for an instant. Crackling Doom deals 2 damage to each opponent. Each opponent sacrifices a creature with the greatest power among creatures he or she controls.
So this looks janky as hell. I think it's a plant for 2-headed giant.
Yes.
Because in that, it is back-breaking.
Crushing.
By the way, your team takes 4 and loses 2 guys. Your biggest ones.
At instant speed
please.
For 3 mana.
Also, I play more creatures. Also, I drink your milkshake because that's what I'm about.
Yeah. Howl of a Horde into that.
Man. It looks like a Boris Vallejo painting. Almost.
Is it?
Like, the background and the fact that there's not anything really going on. Like, all it really needs is some booby lady with chrome all over her for no reason. And then
That's some Boris Vallejo.
That's Boris Vallejo.
That's the Boris Vallejo I know.
Whoever...
This is 3 mana, yeah. Albeit 3 restrictive mana, for an edict with strong upsides. Your opponent gets less choice in the matter. And it dings them for 2.
Doesn't even target them.
No.
Man.
Yeah. Leyline of Sanctity this.
And for that reason, and I say this with like caution and a bunch of asterisks on it, might see this in Legacy. It is a pretty like...
What does it beat?
Progenitus.
Beats like, the shit out of Progenitus. Out of all that like... Sneak
right,
and show.
Because,
type
well,
of stuff.
Not only sneak and show, but if you have like support creatures leading up to it, because your food chain, or not food chain, it's survival.
Yeah.
Was the thing. Natural order.
Natural.
That's the one. Okay,
yeah.
So if you're natural order and you have like your Deathrite Shaman or your. I can't remember. Noble Hierarch kicking around, they can't just sacrifice the Noble Hierarch.
Right.
They're not going to
have make the play,
creature than Progenitus.
They cannot make the play that would make a typical edict look less good.
Right. So as that, just as the only edict that does this, because I don't know of any, because of its unique effect that way, I could see it having potential outside of the world of like constructed standard or limited. Quite good, though.
Does any Legacy deck want, like, even run red, white, black?
Yeah, that's the more questionable part.
Yeah, like right. Just in general,
you
a
know,
3 mana effect that, I mean, if this were in black, green, I'd shove it into my list that I've got kicking around and
right.
Feel like a hero.
Yeah, I guess we also have Wasteland keeping our mana bases not that greedy.
A little more honest.
But no, honest. I could see, like, Deathrite Shaman himself providing the red.
That's fair.
Or the white.
You know, Deathrite Shaman gives you whatever flavor you want. All right, next up is Butcher of the Horde. One, and a red, a white, and a black for a 5/4 demon with flying. Sacrifice another creature. Butcher of the Horde gains your choice of vigilance, lifelink, or haste until end of turn.
So, upside, and upside, and upside. This guy is crazy.
This guy is very strong. Aggressive, like, you know, people have been saying, you know, my aggressive deck tops out with this and then crushes whatever's left. You know, as a turn 4 play, you know, we have ways of just getting little 1/1 tokens, and so little 1/1 enjoy my 4-mana 5/4 hasty flying man.
Well, he always has the flying. That's he
always,
the best part.
He is always, at all times, 4-mana 5/4 flying. You could stop there, and I would first pick that in a lot of packs.
There is, like, Falconwrath Aristocrat, who was 4-mana 4/1 flying haste and had that sacrifice ability.
Had some neat stuff going on.
I mean, that was more to protect it, which this guy can't do as well. He can't, like, protect himself.
Right, he can't just crash into a
Mahamani Djinn. 4 toughness does that decently well.
And hey, you can have him block or gain 5 life.
Yeah.
Or other stuff that makes your opponent want to cry.
You play this in limited and you're basically invincible. That's crazy.
Demand's a pretty quick answer. Definitely a strong pack one, pick one. I'm playing Mardu tonight.
He dies to Mardu Charm. That's
Mardu Charm is a good card. You should also pick that highly. Look, lots of cards die to Flame Tongue.
That's true.
Mardu
okay,
cast.
I know. That doesn't make him bad. He's very strong and quite good, and I would first pick him. I'd probably want to be in Mardu after that.
One of the few demons.
And along with another
non-cat demons.
Yeah. Along with some other stuff that will appear later in the set, there are a lot of good sacrifice outlets in the set. Which means that auras are not going to be as great, and other things that, like, rely on your spell resolving or whatever just aren't going to cut it. We were really missing good sac outlets in Theros.
Yeah.
Because there was, like, Tiramat the Murder King, and then, like, nothing in the entire everything.
Little loose.
Okay, yes, this guy's also a rare, so he's not like, oh no, I need a sac outlet, but they're just generally better.
How many hours does this guy have? 6? Or just 4? I can't tell.
It's hard to tell.
I think 4 wings, 4 arms.
Looks like 3 wings and 4 arms, actually, because you can't see the other wing, like, on his left.
Well, that's 2 wings on the left, 2 wings on the right.
That's
definitely.
Oh, that tiny little corner right there that's in between.
Yeah.
See, I saw this as one huge wing.
No.
Okay,
that's 2 wings.
That's 2 and 2. Okay, so we
what
have
an ass kicker.
4 wings for flying, 2 legs for vigilance.
I want to see Gene from God Hand fight this guy. That would be a fun fight.
2 arms for haste and 2 for lifelink. Like, what?
No, wings for flying.
Mm-hmm.
Feet for haste.
Mm-hmm.
Hands for...
What are you going to the mall and having to build a demon? What is this?
Oh, I'd love to go to a build a demon workshop at the mall.
Okay, well, what about the next guy?
Next card is Ankle Shanker. 2 a red, a white, and a black for a 2/2 Goblin Berserker with haste. Whenever Ankle Shanker attacks, first of all, you get to say, I'm attacking you with Ankle Shanker. That's pretty good, but furthermore, creatures you control gain first strike and death touch until end of turn.
Yep, the Kino combo, finally, at last, in one peanut butter cup. This combination has been menacing players since, I don't even know when, like 2002
since,
or something.
Like,
I don't
since
know.
The
when
1960s.
When did they change Death Touch to work the way it does? Feels like forever ago,
yeah.
2007. But anyway, the rules changes came along and Death Touch sort of happened right away and wasn't a trigger anymore. So just, like, damage plus death touch became great. I think the greatest this has ever been was around World Week, where we had both Basilisk Collar and Hasty Shockman with no power. Cunning Spark Mage. So that's where this particular combination has been, like, just the best. And I'm gonna attack with this guy.
Yeah, this is basically an out and out limited bomb.
Jeez,
2 and 5, like, just slam it down, go to combat,
never be blocked
stay
again.
Stay at your opponent.
Gracious, like, 5 mana is a large cost for a 2/2, and it's worth every penny. Man,
has haste.
He's even adorable. Look at this guy.
Angle Shanker's in it to win it.
You're gonna get it.
Like a little Tonberry, but way faster.
He's loving life.
All right. But perhaps the guy who loves life most of all.
Mm.
So, final code for the Mardu Horde, Zugo Helm Smasher. Two, a red, a white, and a black for a 7/2 legendary orc warrior. With haste, Zugo Helm Smasher attacks each combat if able. Zugo Helm Smasher has indestructible as long as it's your turn. Whenever a creature dealt damage by Zugo Helm Smasher this turn dies, put a +1/+1 counter on Zugo Helm Smasher.
I mean, you could read it as Helm Smasher or Helm Smasher, and I think it would come off the
kinda
same
works,
way.
Works with both.
Does he mash several helms, or does he smash one helm? You do not know.
Depends on how many helms he's got.
I'm not going to try and stop and ask him.
I gotta let him do his thing.
What can you even do to stop this guy? Like, you throw this guy down in limited, what do we even have? Like, you're taking 7.
you're doing something. Or you're losing a creature to him.
Like, he's losing a creature, and then he becomes an 8/3.
I mean, if you got the answer in hand, you can
if you have that Abzan Outlast guy who's like soldier a turn. Maybe you're paying Zurgo Helm Smasher and staying pace with his size even a little.
Kinda, sorta.
Yeah. It's like, give me your men! I will smash them.
You cannot kill him by blocking him with your 2/2. I know you feel very smart. He's indestructible during this
part. Right, and to make him so that he, like, works, I guess. Also, 7/2 looks really weird.
Without, like, two, something backing that up.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, 2 toughness is kind of small, but he doesn't just die to any old damage.
Yeah.
I mean, again, indestructible on your turn, sure, but... Man, that looks just strange. I guess we'll revisit it when we see any, like, -1 kind of thing going on.
Yeah, any toughness so lower effects.
I think there actually is a reprint of Enfeeblement, essentially. So the play of, okay, I take 7, and then I use my spell on your guy, that could be real. I guess we'll come around to it.
Alright, so those are the codes of the Mardu Horde.
The Mardu Horde.
They like attacking, they like fighting, they like winning.
Yep.
They raid.
Okay, so favorite guys from the Mardu Horde. Or card.
I gotta give it to a Heart Piercer.
Mostly.
For doing a strong Flame Tongue Kavu impression.
Yeah, just the most solid guy.
Just, if I'm playing Mardu, and it's like I get to pick one code to have in multiples, I want it to be this one.
Mm.
Because it deals damage to a thing that I point at.
Yeah, it serves both halves of that crucial, like, creature or spell question that we were talking about earlier. He's both a repeated source of damage and a hidden or immediate
sudden
source of damage.
Zappo.
So that's
something
that's pretty impressive. Because I love effects of this kind, I have to give it up to Howl the Horde.
Mm.
I mean, also maybe a little bit because this man is barfing like I can't get enough of this picture. It's just so comical.
Do you want to live the dream of, you know, do some attacks, get your opponent to 12, Howl the Horde, Mardu Charm doesn't hit players. Which is the one that hits players? That's a different one.
That would be Jeskai.
Well, you could do that in Jeskai.
What do you mean? Oh, this would be awesome in Jeskai. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's off the hook.
I mean, yeah, it's only... You don't, like, cast the copies. Additional time.
You
mean
yeah. Right, yeah, yeah. You don't get extra prowess triggers.
No.
But you can also, like, this into Motochome into, like, a Moto 3 dudes. Just zap, zap, zap.
Ooh, about Howl of the Horde into Howl of the Horde.
Yeah. Okay, wait, okay.
Howl Geometry.
So, you play Howl of the Horde, so your right. next instant or sorcery gets copied twice.
You choose new targets.
And you may choose new targets. Yes. Then you play Howl of the Horde.
Okay.
So
we've raided in either case.
Yes. The raid is active mm-hmm. because it's on. So you play Howl of the Horde. The
next...
delayed trigger from your first Howl of the Horde says hi. Or not even... It's not even a trigger.
It sort of is. It's cast Howl of the Horde. Yeah. It's waiting for any spell.
Yes.
And it's going to, in this case, make two of them.
Yes.
So you have spell and then...
Two
of them. Okay, your spell is... Howl of the Horde with Raid.
Okay.
So you get it, and you get two copies.
So each of them say, like, the next time I see an instant or sorcery, copy it twice.
Yes.
So then I cast Lightning Bolt, and I hit you for 21?
Yes.
Okay.
Because you get the original Lightning Bolt and six copies.
Okay. Which is more than 20.
Zap! I mean, I had to attack with a creature to set this up.
That's true.
But that's a lot of damage. Man, where's the lightning bolt when you need it? I guess we still have, like, lightning strike.
Yeah. It's twice as much mana. And you don't have two of these in your limited deck, but one is 20.
One is totally.
One is going to make your opponent think very, very hard about games two or three.
I really wish this were named Preverberate.
That said, you know, Mardu seems like it has... There were some whiffs. There were definitely some whiffs. But there were a lot of just good, cheap dorks.
Yeah, they got things going on. Most of those things are attacking.
Deal damage.
It says the red wedge.
Yes.
Pretty sure
we
can just
red is the
red.
Main color.
I'm happy about it. I'm happy to see some power coming back into red. Not enough, though. Really wish that Blazebringer was not, like, a strictly worse fog elemental.
It was 3-3 mana 5-5.
I'd be a little happier with that. At least then the, like, hey, 3 mana for 5 damage. That sounds like a better version of the spell that we're talking about. No, I'd be totally happy if he were a 5-5. He ain't, though.
Nah, he's 4-4.
Any closing thoughts?
Closing thoughts. Man. You get a lot of bodies.
Yeah, I mean,
This Mardu seems good at making creature tokens.
Mm-hmm.
And so, if you have some good sack outlets, you either Butcher the Horde or maybe a card that we haven't talked about
right.
yet, you know, that's going to be pretty efficient, pretty synergistic.
And, you know, the way that we're reviewing this, we're kind of doing creatures first.
Yeah, just because we're doing the clan cards, which
are
mostly creatures.
They're mostly creatures. And the spells are not as branded as the creatures
by and large.
Are. So that's part of why that. But you know, again, yeah, they're the token crew, sort of borrowing White's ability to make tokens. Man, I'm gonna get crushed by Mardu Warshrieker, I'm sure.
When you're Mardu, you want to curve out. You know, you're like turn one, you know, something, maybe even something with haste, and then, you know, turn two. With your swamp and your one other mana.
Yeah, the haste thing could even be like borrowed.
Like oh, yeah, Swift Spear is
that's like,
also a very strong code.
That's a
because,
Mardu.
You know, there are no rules
name.
That say you can't mix and match watermarks.
Right.
So there's just good aggressive red support. You know, you play your Swift Spear, turn one mountain Swift Spear, turn two swamp.
And then start hunting some skulls.
Skulls.